John feels Emily isn't doing her fair share of caregiving. Emily feels John is too controlling and dismisses her contributions. Their disagreements have led to hurtful words at family gatherings, and their mother is distressed.
All right, so family dynamics, sibling dynamics, you can see probably something that many of us can relate to. Maybe it's a situation some of you are currently in. Tom, that might have been awkward that I asked you to read that given, you know, your own recent, but I didn't mean that. Anyway, yeah.
For the record, I would probably be one being accused of not doing that.
Okay. All right. But yeah, let's stay in our groups and let's take a look at these four questions as relates to this. So let's just make sure we've got it. John and his sister Emily are in conflict about caring for their aging mother. John feels Emily isn't doing her fair share. So there's, again, sort of an expectations thing here at work, and it's affecting the rest of the families, particularly their mother. So let's take a look at these questions and spend a few minutes discussing them in our groups. Thank you. All right, guys, I'd like to give you more time, but we're almost out of time for class, so let me pull us back together. Real quick, let's revisit the scenario. John and his adult sister, Emily, are in conflict about caring for their aging mother. John feels Emily isn't doing her fair share of caregiving. Emily feels John is too controlling and dismisses her contributions. Their disagreements have led to hurtful words at family gatherings, and their mother is distressed. So let's start off with the first of the four G's, glorify God. I ask the question, what does it look like to honor God and their mother in this conflict?
Well, for those we said, you know, realizing you're both coming from the place where you want the best for your mother in this, and, you know, just the ways of getting there is different for you. Just so you're realizing, you know, for your mother in this, that you both want the best for her, and that's how you're going to do this.
Yeah, sometimes just verbalizing that can be helpful, right? Yeah. Right there.
We kind of talked about Christ came to serve, not be served. So when you're doing something, don't expect something in return. You're doing it out of love. So if you're serving your mother, you're honoring her, regardless of what that other person's doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Again, that's kind of reorienting our hearts in the situation, maybe even before you get into the conflict. I think that's a really helpful acknowledgement. Yeah, thanks, Matt. Way over here.
We talked about how it mentioned that it was distressing to their mother, and given the situation, she's aging and they have to care for her, so probably that's physically like not great for her as well. And so if they're really honoring their mother, which is one of the Ten Commandments, like, you know, they need to recognize that their conflict is actually undoing the very thing they should be trying to do and is literally violating one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, wow. Really good. Really good. So again, sort of this, let's understand what's really at stake here and what is the opportunity. It's not one to just try to offload responsibility or try to pin it on your sibling, but rather what's really at stake here, and it's honoring our mother, it's trying to love her and serve her and so forth. So good, let's move on. We have three more we gotta get through real quick. So let's go on to the second one, get the log out. So what do you think is going on that might be motivating them to be blind to the fact that they're not honoring or loving their mother well? What heart idols might be fueling John or Emily's reactions? We'll go here and then here.
I think it leads to idolatry, but we talked about the fact that, you know, caring for an aging mother is really difficult. It involves a lot of grieving and a lot of, you know, and different people deal with that kind of grief differently. So acknowledging that, you know, maybe one of them is more of an escaping kind of person. Yeah. I can't see mom this way. It's really hard for me to see her deteriorating. And the other's like, we're trying to fix it. We're trying to fix everything to make it better, even though it's something that's not going to get better. And so talking through and Kaylin said to talk through not only how are they dealing with the grief and the just difficulty of the situation, but also maybe writing down the things that they are doing so that they can talk through them. And that's part of, we talked about preparing for the conversation. But also acknowledging that, you know, I might be dealing with this grief differently than you, and that's coming out differently in the way that I'm helping or able to process, and we need to come together to talk about how to do that well. And even that could be a healing kind of conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. That's such a helpful way to think about it, Mim. Thanks for sharing that. This idea that maybe, you know, he doesn't want to see mom like this, so let's just put a to-do list and let's, like, you know, fix this problem, as opposed to Emily being like, I can't see mom like this. And being able to acknowledge that and then verbalize it, that's going to be really key for them to actually be able to move things forward. Sam?
It makes me think a little bit of the story of Mary and Martha when Martha's running around the house serving and getting everything together, and Mary is sitting at the teacher's feet. And in that moment, Martha is doing a good thing by caring for the physical needs, but she's missing all the relational aspects. And I think in a lot of situations, John in this case, who's caring for the physical needs, really absolutely misses the emotional needs of the individual and the relational needs. I think both are important, but I think there's a maybe a common ground to be reached on. Yeah, we need more help with the physical stuff, but also mom's been trying to tell you about all this stuff that's going on with her, and you've just taken care of her, like, her needs in her physical sense, but not, like, emotionally supported her.
Really good. Really good. Thanks for that. All right, let's get to these last two as we're a little over time already, but let's talk about gently restore. How might John or Emily initiate a conversation that balances both honesty with gentleness, or to put it in the way that he did in the book, speaking the truth in love? What might this initiation look like? We've talked about it in terms of like preparing our hearts for that conversation, but what might it look like in terms of starting this conversation?
We talked about just a practical application of like making a list of all the needs and then dividing them up based on the strengths of the two people, because ultimately the goal is to care for their mother. And it's very dishonoring to the Lord as Christians to, you know, to fight about that. But also something kind of related to all the questions is just something I've witnessed for over 10 years of working to care for the elderly is that everyone deals with this differently, and the grief of losing the person as they were that raised you hits everyone differently, and it's really hard. My own father, having suffered two strokes in the past year, he's okay, but like he's not the same person he was, and so that's just a really hard thing to navigate. So coming at it with like, what is our intention here? To honor our parents, and so making a list of what we're all good at is probably a good idea rather than just fighting about it and hurting them more.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. That's really helpful. And I think, you know, maybe even being, after you've done that self-reflection, you know, that Mim mentioned in step two, being able to bring that with you to that conversation and be like, hey, I realize this is how I'm dealing with sort of the situation, or maybe not dealing with it well. I feel like maybe you're in a similar place. Can we, let's have this conversation of how we're both maybe, you know, talking past each other or getting frustrated with each other when it's in reality we're upset about something more, which is maybe, you know, seeing mom change or seeing our relationships change, that sort of thing. All right, so let's talk about the last one. Go and be reconciled. What forgiveness or commitments could they offer each other to restore peace and unity in the family and really show the love, service, and you know, honor their mom in the way that that they're called to, in the way that really I think they probably both want to and just realize they haven't been doing well up to this point. So what might this kind of the conclusion of this look like? Sarah may have already alluded to like a practical step of making lists, but also like what might this look like to get there where somebody's ready to kind of sign up? Go ahead. Thanks, Matt.
I think a big part of it, and I mean this goes for any family situation really, is speaking highly of the acts that the other is doing. Because if you approach it from a standpoint of this is what you're doing for mom rather than this is what you're not doing for mom, especially in those family, like it said, family gatherings were becoming tense, especially in those situations where you have the opportunity to tear down and create sides, if the only side present is we want to care for mom and thank you for what you're doing, then that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's great. That's like Anne talked about it at the beginning from last week, the idea of like the replacement principle, realizing like every time that you have been critical in the past, maybe here's an opportunity to think of like how I can honor the other person or show appreciation, and that can go a long way of kind of changing the culture, changing the dynamic within the family when others are around, and start to see like, oh, outwardly, like this does seem to be being resolved, which is great. All right, one more comment back here, Matt. Thanks. Oh yeah, I was pointing to the back corner. That's all right. All right, she's passing. All right, we'll let Mim have the last word here. Thanks.
All right, thanks so much. Earlier in the class, you talked about, like, especially in a workplace environment, going and saying
hey, I call this person out in front of the team, I'm sorry, and I'm not, you know, and what a blessing it would be for these two to go to their mom and say, we know you've been upset by our conflict, we want to let you know we've talked about it, we love each other, we've forgiven each other, and we're going to work really hard to make sure you get the best care, and we're all on the same team. I mean, that would be just be such a blessing to her and to them, for her to not be worrying about, when are my kids, are they okay, they love each other, you know, whatever, but everyone's going to be okay, and we're going to care for each other well in this situation.
Yeah, what a great way to show that love in the end of the situation. All right, well, I've taken too much time. Thank you all for your contributions today and throughout the class. Thank you very much.